All right. I greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glad to be here with you here again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, O Lord, for your goodness, for your mercies. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit as we open your word. Help us to have faith, Father. And Lord, give us the words to speak this morning. We just thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want to open our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. It would be 1 Kings, King James. Or 1 Samuel, maybe it's Samuel. It'd be Samuel in King James. Yeah, sorry. Blessed by the boys' lessons this morning. One of the points that a couple of the boys mentioned that how it was hard for them to work and just do the things that they didn't want to do. And I don't know when I learned this. I was probably 16 or 17 years old when I actually learned this, and then I actually heard about it or learned about it later. But I just remember when I was playing on the basketball team, I just hated to practice, and I hated to exercise, I hated to do the running, and up until the time that I was. The year before my high school year, I just did it. I finished last in everything. I mean, I just moped along, and if I could walk, I'd walk. But I just did it as slow as I possibly could because I thought that was the best way to conserve energy. And so I did everything just half-hearted. What I didn't realize is that it took a lot more energy and a lot more effort to do things half-hearted than it did the day that I realized, why am I not just putting my heart into this and doing this with all of my might? And so somewhere about my junior year in high school, I decided I'm not going to be the last to finish anymore. I'm going to be the first. Not just a competitive thing, but I'm going to put everything I have in whatever I do. And I learned a principle that I later read about in a book. And it said, make work your friend, not your enemy. And whenever you learn just to make work or doing the things that you don't like to do, your friend instead of your enemy, you're not spending all your energy fighting it, and you get things done, and you can do it with a good attitude and be a blessing instead of just being, oh, grumble, lazy, I don't want to do it, I don't like it attitude. And you spend all your time complaining and griping and all your energy not doing something when you could have had it done and then go on to do what you want to do. And so just wanted to encourage the boys, all of us, that it doesn't take any more energy to devote all your effort to something than it does to devote all your effort to not doing something. And so, just a word of encouragement there. do the things that you do with the best of your ability. And that's one of the other things a couple of the young men were talking about, people not appreciating, or the stress, or the fight, or the things that go along with working with others sometimes, and sometimes having a boss that doesn't appreciate what you're doing, or sometimes just causing all kinds of problems. Do what you're supposed to do and leave the boss into somebody else. You just do your job to the best of your ability. The simple task. My grandma used to tell me that if you're going to, she said, I don't care what you do in life. Even if you're a ditch digger, you be the best ditch digger you know how to be. And I've just always appreciated that. And that goes along with what the Bible says. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. And there are so many blessings in that you can't hardly even imagine. And most people are so scared to death of it that they miss it when it's right there in front of them. And that's the way most blessings are. They're right in front of us. But we're so busy worrying about them or complaining about them or trying, we miss them. And we just stomp right over them and miss them. But they're there if we just look for them. All right. Let's open our Bibles again to First Kingdoms what text? Septuagint. And then in the King James or Masoretic text, it'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is a story that we're all familiar with. I appreciate it again. One of the boys today just will bring out here that David was tending his father's sheep whenever the war was going on. And some would think, and most would think, and he might even had the thoughts that, I'm missing it. I'm just missing it. And this is one of the points I want to bring out this morning about faith. A lot of times we're thinking we're missing it by just doing what we're supposed to be doing. And here all of his brothers, they were right there in it. They were there with the king, just all the pomp at the battle. David was out there taking the sheep. And everybody would have thought, yeah, David's missing it. He isn't where it's at. He's not where it's happening. He's missing it. And all of his brothers are right there. But then we'll see who was ready when the call came. This morning, the main thing I think I want to talk about is facing our giants. One thing, facing our giants. And how to be ready to face our giants. Now the Philistines, verse 1, brought their armies together for battle. And they gathered in Succoth of Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes Danimon. And Saul and the men of Israel gathered, and they were encamped in the valley. They were to set up in battle formation opposite the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and the valley between them. Okay, here's the picture. There's a war going on. You know, most of the time, the valiant men or the courageous men, when they know there's a battle coming on, when they know it's time for a battle, where do they want to be? They want to be there. I mean, we live in a different time, but most of the time whenever there's a battle or there's something worth fighting for as a nation or a country or in this case for the Lord, for the nation of Israel, I mean, you would have been a coward not to have been there. And even in this nation, when there's a cause that sometimes we don't get involved in those things because we're part of the kingdom of God and we love our enemies and we don't want to hurt anyone. Not because we can't. Not because we're not willing to. It's because the Lord has told us that's not our battle. That's one thing that people get confused of. The Lord will fight wars. And He calls His people to do it sometimes. But our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle's with spiritual powers. And that's what He's called us to do. And sometimes it's hard for us to contain the desire to stand up and fight for what's right and be courageous. But we're called not to, because our kingdom is not of this world. And so these people here that are called to fight for their country, and that's the way we fight for our kingdom, is to do things God's way. And that's where faith comes in. If when the Lord returns, He's going to come on a white horse, and He's going to lead His armies to destroy this world. Being non-resistant or loving our enemies is not about being pacifist or just because we don't want to fight. Because we do. We have a desire for what's right, and we'll do whatever it takes. It's not just some little thing that we're squeamish and so we don't like battle. That's not it at all. We're non-resistant because that's what our Lord wants us to be. And He wants us to be ready to fight the fights that come our way when they come our way. If we try to do it our own way and try to do it because we want to show our courage or we want to show those things, and we jump out there when we're not ready, we've missed it. So the point is here, what I'm saying is, the men of God want to be ready for battle on the Lord's terms, on the Lord's time, not our own. And these men were all ready to go, ready to fight, signed up, and they looked courageous. And here their littlest brother out there just taking care of those sheep. We'll see a little more of that later. Thus Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father and said to him, Change pages here. Verse 4. And a mighty man went out from the battle line of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath. His height was 4 cubits and a span. He had a helmet on his head and he wore a breastplate of chain mail. And the weight of his breastplate was 5,000 shekels of brass and iron. And he had armor made of bronze on his legs and a bronze shield between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was that of a loom, was a beam like the beam of a loom. And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And a shield bearer went before him when he stood and shouted to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle against us? Am I not a Philistine, and you Hebrews of Saul? Choose a man of yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I am able to kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "Look, this very day I challenge the ranks of the armies of Israel. Give me a man, that the two of us can fight one on one." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Here are these men that are all ready for battle. They're first to sign up, ready to fight. And now the challenge comes. And they were dismayed and afraid. Faith. We can be organized. We can have it all figured out. But when the time of of crisis comes, the time for the battle, the opportunity that God puts in front of us, fear and dismay. All through the Bible, the Bible talks of faith. And we have reduced faith to believing nothing more than a bunch of facts, nothing more than a creed, nothing more than a few doctrines. And we have faith because we have all of those things, but that is not one iota of what the Bible talks about. When the Bible talks about faith, it's about men and women when they meet the point of crisis, the point of decision, the trouble, the fire, the battle, whatever it is, they're ready to step up and do it. There's a lot of people around that talk about their faith, of how pure their faith might be, how right their faith might be. We're the right faith, you're the right, wrong faith. We've just the battle going on all the time. But when the rubber hits the road, most of them are fearful and full of dismay. Because they're not ready. They don't have faith. They've got a cheap imitation. The people that Jesus met along the way, all the crowds all around them, and a blind man cries out and say, "Lord, heal us." He was ready for the opportunity when it came to step up and take it. To step up and the people, the men and the women that were healed by Jesus, the multitudes all around them, but the ones that were healed were ready to seize the opportunity when it came. Most of us are either running way ahead of God, trying to force things, or we're way behind because we're afraid. One of the two. But that's neither one of those are faith. Faith is just walking, being faithful at what God, where God has placed you to do what you're supposed to be doing and be faithful. That takes practice. That takes an effort. Some people say, well, it's by faith. You're trying to work your way to heaven. Listen, faith is the hardest work you'll ever do. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. They've got this idea that faith is just something that you just have once, and there's no effort at all in faith. But have you ever had to really believe something? Whenever everything around you is saying something different, you want to just run, or you want to shirk back in fear. But faith steps up whenever no one else will. The Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 12, but David said to Saul, "Let not the heart of my Lord fail in regards to him. Your servant will go and fight with this foreigner." And Saul said to David, "No, you are not able to go to the Philistine to fight him, since you are a young man, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to tend the flock of his for his father, and when a lion or a bear came and took a sheep out of the flock, I followed it and struck it and delivered the sheep from his mouth. And as it rose against me, I caught it by the throat and struck and killed it. Your servant smote both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of these to them to me. Will I not go and kill him today and remove the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised one who challenged the ranks of the armies of Israel? The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord will be with you." Here again we see David. And you find this in every person that God uses in the Bible. He was faithful in the little things that he was supposed to be doing. He learned that. He learned to be faithful. I'm sure there was a time in David's life that he kind of probably grumbled about wanting to having to do chores. But there was a time in his life, some point in his life, and he just decided, no, I'm going to be faithful in whatever I do. I'm going to do the best I can in whatever I do. And so he learned that lesson. And while he was out there all by himself, taking care of sheep, a pretty boring job, probably could have decided, oh, nothing's going to happen today. I'm just going to take a nap here. This is boring. Why do I have to be out here? There's probably things going on in town I'd like to go see. There's probably somebody out playing a game somewhere I'd like to be. But David didn't do that. He was diligent in what he was doing. He was just being faithful. And then the test of faith came. He heard a lion. He saw a bear. He was ready to take on what came his way when it was time. Why was he doing that? Because he was faithful when those things weren't happening. So many people want to be the hero. They want to be the giant. They want to be the guy that kills the giant. They want to be the hero. And so they sit around daydreaming all the time about being a hero. And then the little time of crisis pops up and it scares them to death. Instead of just being faithful at what they were doing. Faithful in the little things. God calls people that are faithful. He doesn't mess with daydreamers. He doesn't mess with the people boasting and doing all the talking about it. He uses the faithful because he knows he can depend on them. And that's all he can depend on. People that are faithful. And whenever the opportunity came, David faced his giant. And he wasn't afraid of it. He was ready to face his giants. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Facing our giants. You know, most of us, all of us have problems. I think one of the problems most of us have, one of the biggest problems most of us have is we think we're the only ones with problems. We think it's only me that everybody's concerned about. We think that I'm the only one that's going through these problems that I'm having. I'm the only one that has problems like this. We all think our problems are unique for ourselves. But that's not what the Bible teaches, and that's not what is anything near truth. You boys that came up here and gave a talk this morning, they gave. What were you thinking about when you came up here and stood? Most of you were thinking, what's everybody going to be thinking about me? Oh, everybody's looking at me. Everybody's looking at me, and they're You're afraid of doing. That's why we do this. That's why we have you stand up here, come up here and say something real. Not just quote some verse. You have to speak. It's to break down that giant to think that everybody's just looking at poor little you. Helping you overcome, helping you face that giant. Because everybody else has the same thing, the same fear. You know, so many people are worried what everybody's thinking about me. Not most people are thinking, what is everybody thinking about me? When I'm up here, or somebody is up here, we're thinking, what are they thinking about me? And you know, just think about that. What if everyone is thinking the same thing as you are? What is everybody thinking about me? Oh, what's that guy thinking? And that guy's sitting there thinking, I wonder what everybody's thinking about me. And that guy over there, he's sitting over there thinking, I wonder what everybody's thinking about me. And we're all sitting there wondering and scared to death of everybody that's actually just sitting there thinking, I wonder what everybody's thinking about me. Instead of just getting up and doing and being faithful. Oh, they may have a passing thought that was silly. But it's not going to consume them because the thoughts come right back to, what's everybody thinking about me? And everybody has that. That we think we're so special and so unique that nobody's doing anything but sitting there thinking about me. And so we sit here scared to death and are unwilling to face the things that are right in front of us because we're petrified, we're dismayed, and we're fearful about what everybody thinks about me. That's why nobody does anything. Because they're scared to do anything different. Because they're afraid of what people will think about them. And so we sit here paralyzed. Have faith, no faithfulness. Because we're scared of everybody else. Not what they're doing, but what they're thinking about me. David wasn't worried about what they were thinking about him. They told him what they thought. Who are you, you little punk? You're just a little shepherd. It wasn't that they were just thinking bad about him. They told him who he was. You wet behind the ears, little boy, think you're going to come out here in this army? They told him that. Why don't you go back to the sheep? Why don't you go back and take care of the sheep? That's more up your line. But he had something they didn't. He had faithfulness. He had faith. He had opportunity. And he wasn't sitting around scared of it. He wasn't running from it. He just met it head on as it came. He didn't try to create some big monster out there that he pretended to fight. He had a bear come along. And he killed it. He had a mountain lion or a lion came along. And he killed it. And he was ready for it. Because he was faithful right where he was at. He wasn't scared of the future. He wasn't scared of his past. He decided that he was going to be faithful right where he was at. All right. Verse 18, so Saul clothed David with armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he girded David with the sword over his armor. David made a trial walking with them a time or two, and David said, I'm not able to go with these, for I have not tested them. So they removed them. Then David took his staff in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag to store away, and in his hand was his sling. He then approached the Philistine. People have their own plans, their own ways of fighting giants. And it usually involves some man-made effort that's going to protect them, something that they try to create for themselves for protection. But David didn't use that. What did David have? He knew the Lord. He knew how to be faithful right where he was. And so when all this extra protection was tried to be put on him, I don't need that. That's not what has led me so far. That's not what's got me to where I am, to doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't need all that. I don't need all your help. I'm trusting in the Lord. And He is the one who will carry me through. It's not been proven. And that's this one thing that I've just... The people that have chosen to follow the Lord, you've been called out of all kinds of different situations. You've learned to walk, to follow the Lord by listening and walking and being faithful where you are. And a lot of times that faithfulness is then crushed by somebody trying to be helpful, putting an extra armor on you. Do it my way. Do it this way. This is the way you need to be doing things. Because this is the tried and true method. The armor. These shields and the helmets. These are the tried and true method. You need to listen to them so people try to crush the faith of one who's just been faithful and one who's just followed. David knew what it took to win the battle. He knew it wasn't with rocks or metal or armor or a gun. He knew that his strength was in the Lord and being faithful to the Lord. I believe David would have rather went out there and died just trusting in the Lord than have tried to do something other than that to win the battle. And when David saw Goliath, he disdained him, for he was a young boy, ruddy, and with good countenance. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come out against me with staff and stones?" Then David said, "No, worse than a dog." And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of heaven and the beast of the field." Okay, imagine yourself facing this giant. Okay, we're scared about what people think of us. Okay, aren't we? What about if somebody said, "I'm getting ready to feed you to the birds"? And you knew that he meant it. And you knew that he was 9 foot tall and was going to do it. That's a little different than how we sit around fearful of what everybody's thinking about us. This David was facing actual threats. But he was faithful. He had learned in the little things just to be faithful. And he knew, he had learned, that it was God that was going to deliver him. Not his strength, not his might. He just trusted in the Lord. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come with me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, Sabaoth." In the name of the Lord, Sabaoth. "The God of the armies of Israel, whom you reproach today, today the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will kill you and take your head from you. And this day I will give you carcass and the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of heaven and the wild beast of the earth. And all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly will know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord, and the Lord will deliver you into our hands." Here's where David was trusting. It wasn't with sword and spear that was going to win the battle. It wasn't with bigger guns. It wasn't with a better army. That's what he's saying. That's all they had at this time. So many people want to trust to their own strength and their own might to be able to do this. And they think that if they can build a bigger army and have a bigger gun or have more equipment, that that's what will win the battle. But their battle is won by their faith. Their battle is won by the Lord. Facing our giants. What is it that scares you to death? What is it that torments you? What is it that just scares you? You know how to overcome it? Instead of running from it, trying to get away from it, hiding so it won't find you, you turn around and face it. The armor of the Lord, it tells the picture about the armor of the Lord, the helmet, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the sword, all of that is for protection, for fighting the battle. There's nothing behind. You turn around and run, you have no protection, no hope, nothing. Because the enemy will get you if you run. To overcome your battles, you learn how to be faithful. You learn how to be diligent. And you learn how to face your giants. Don't run from them. You know, the Old Testament saints, they had to look forward that there was a delivery coming. And when we see that, we see all these battles. The Lord will deliver us. They had their faith that the Lord would deliver them. That at death, their only hope was that they were going to the place called Hades and they'd be held in captivity. But their hope was that the Lord would deliver them. The Lord has come. The Lord has come. And He came to set us free, to deliver us. And now we know that He's come. This is what it means to believe and to have faith in the Lord. We know that He has overcome the devil. He has overcome the evil one. He's overcome the Philistines. They're defeated. And now our responsibility is to act like that. To live like that. To have faith like that. So that whenever He comes with all His threats, all His fears, and all those things that come upon us, we can just turn around and face them. And say, it's scary. I'm afraid. But I know that the Lord has already won this battle. And it takes courage. And it takes a trust to know that the Lord has already done this. This is where David was at. He said, my faith is in the Lord. I'm not going to trust in all the things that I could contrive to help me. The battle is the Lord's. And he had learned to live that way. All of his failings maybe before, he had learned that I'm going to trust the Lord. And so that when it comes time to face our giant, we can actually just turn around and say, I'm going to trust the Lord with this. You know what happens most of the time? Those big giants that we're scared to death of, we find out that there's nothing but, you know how you shine a light on a little bitty thing up on a wall and it looks like a great big giant up there? When we trust the Lord, the light goes out and that little giant is nothing but a little stick or a little twig that looked like a big monster. They fade to nothing, and that's all the devil has to throw at us. Some big monster that he can keep us terrified instead of walking by faith. And most people just turn and run from them. There's nothing there. The Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell will not stand against the church. That's not, we can just build our little fortress and the devil can't get in. That's not it. It says, when we're walking by faith, the devil can't stand in front of us. The devil can't stand. He cannot defeat us in the battle. He can kill our flesh. He can kill our reputations. He can kill everything that we might have our trust in. But he can't stand against the Lord and against us if we have the faith. And like I said, the faith is built. The faith is strengthened by just being faithful in those little things. And the Lord will see us through it. We know that David defeated his giant, but he had to face him. And that's what we've got to do. There's, who knows what your fear is? Who knows what you think you have to face that's insurmountable? Who knows what you have to face? Do you know what? Every one of you in here are looking at your giant. You're not worried about the other guys. You've all got them. We've all got them. We're not worried about his giant, or because that's not what we're supposed to be doing. If I get worried about your giant or somebody else's giant, mine's eating me alive. And I don't even know it. We've all got them. And if, just like the boys that are working for bosses that causing them trouble, well, I can get worried about it and decide I need to do the boss's job, or I can do the other guy's job. I just need to do the job at hand and do that whether they like it or not. Do the best you can at it. And if they've got correction for you, even though it don't make sense, learn from it. Do it their way. If you get blamed for it, guess what? You did the best you could. And God sees. That's what living by faith is God sees through all of this. He knows whether it looks like you've made a total mess or whether everybody in the world thinks you're messing up. You be faithful in your part. Most of us are trying to jump ahead of God. We get in a situation. We get in things we don't understand. We see something coming on. So we jump to make plans to fix it. We just run ahead and get something built up to protect us. Or we see it coming and we just head for the hills. I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere else. I'm leaving. I can't handle this. Instead of just waiting on the Lord. Think about the children of Israel whenever they left Egypt and they came up against the sea. They were camped out there, and then they looked and saw the dust clouds rising. Egypt, the Pharaoh had got his armies together and was coming at them. Most of them panicked and said, "Oh, I wish we'd have just died in Egypt. Oh, I wish they'd have just killed us back there before we went through all of this. And just to have to die in this desert." That's where most of them wound up. But they, when they looked to the Lord, He gave them a solution. And it wasn't one that was born out of panic. He just gave them a simple solution. See, what happens is most of the time we panic and jump right into the fire instead of just waiting. Wait on the Lord. Whenever everything's crashing around you, don't jump. Don't run. trust. Wait on the Lord. You know what? He'll make a way of escape if we trust Him. The way of escape for the children of Israel. They saw the army coming behind them, the sea right in front of them. You know what He told them to do? Just walk across the sea. Didn't make any sense. And it wasn't doing a thing until they stepped into the water. And as soon as they did, the Lord opened the seas. And they walked across on dry land. The Lord will provide a way. But faith has to sit still long enough to let Him. The reason most people don't see the Lord moving is because they've either already got it fixed way ahead of time, or they run from it. Instead of just being faithful and trusting the Lord with what comes. That little song, "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow." My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. Strength for the day is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. Facing our giants. If the Lord leads us right towards a giant, you just keep right on walking right towards Him. The Lord knows the way to slay that giant. All I have to do is follow. So many times we've got to take it on ourselves. Get out of the way, Lord. I'm going to go fix it. Dumb. So many times we say, "Whoa!" and take off running. Dumb. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Trust the Lord. That's all David did. That's all he had. He trusted the Lord. And that's all He wants from any of us. That's all any of us have to do. We don't have to be out there killing giants every day. We don't have to be out there making big waves. Because that's not what He's looking for. He's looking for faithfulness. And if you're faithful in those little things, one of these days, He might make a big wave with you. But if you don't do the little things, I'll guarantee you He won't. Every man that God used in the Bible was faithful. Down to the basics, building a solid foundation of just being faithful in what His hand found to do. The Lord knows the way. Face your giants and follow the Lord. That's all we have to do. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you want to share?
And then the person, well, yeah, the whole thought for just a moment, what if it's not my fault? talk. And I laughed at the story like it was something funny, but inside I was thinking real hard. And so it wasn't easy.
Right.
So sometimes we get help, but well, that's pretty tough. But that's what we need. You know,
right.
When you ask help for whatever you're doing, you need the help because what you were doing before wasn't working.
Right.
And it's tough to learn a new thing. It's what we need.
Right. Most of us want fixed. We don't want helped. We want fixed. And that won't work. Because if you just get fixed, you'll go right back and do the same thing again. But if you'll take help, you can learn and you can grow. There's a great difference between being fixed, and that's what everybody wants. Fix it, Lord, fix it. And he's offering a helping hand. And we're saying, no, I don't want that. I want fixed. And that's not what he's wanting to do. Yeah, the story. The man had been divorced 3 times. He was going through his 3rd divorce. And he just had a horrible thought going through this 3rd divorce. He said, what if it's me that's the problem? And he said, oh, I've dismissed that thought right away. Couldn't be. Went on to his next one. So, anyway. All right. Anyone else have anything you want to share?
Yeah. Some of us were talking yesterday about that, just trying to get rid of what you were just saying about trying to get it fixed. And there's plenty of preachers around to tell you that if you're struggling like this, facing this or that, it's probably because you're in sin.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because you're just... And so let's just fix that. You shouldn't be struggling and having
right.
to fight like this. And it just... And then I remember thinking that probably some of my struggles was because of the living community.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if we do that, look at all
the right.
coming back.
Right.
Every
day. Yeah.
You know, and here you don't realize it. Always, all it is your shirt tail flapping and breeze and you're taking off, you know, full speed. Away from the enemy.
Right. Right.
Away from the fight.
Right. Right. Yeah, most religion is geared to take us away from faith instead of living it. Anyway, something.
About what Peter is when he's walking with the Lord there, turning around and saying, what shall this man do? Told that to the children this week. That's not our business.
Right.
Our business is, Jesus said, what is that to you?
Right.
But one of the most pointed things, well, among the pointed things Jesus said to an individual disciple like that, other than the behind me saying, but he was, a lot of that was with Peter.
Right.
What is that to you?
Right.
That could just get hit with that. That's hard to take in itself.
Right.
Much less to be able to put into practice the next thing, and that's you following. And that goes along with the song of saying, our Lord wants to take you to wilderness. That's all we have.
Right.
That's it. That's the only thing we have is following Jesus. And I know that sounds simple, and it is, but it's not.
Right.
It's completely, it's so involving, it takes everything we've got. And but what we want to do is, like you said, religion takes faith out of it. We want formulas. We want tried and true methods. We want what's happening, what's going on, how this works, and make it so this will change, this will happen if we do this. On and on and on. We want doctrines. We want whatever. So that we can feel secure. But there's no security in just, what's that for you? Follow me.
Right. Right.
Thank you. Father.